All right, let's take our Bibles and let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 18 to 25, Genesis chapter 2. And I'll start at verse 18. Then we're going to go to Genesis 1. And I'll read verses 26 to 28. But Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. Isn't that interesting? God had him name the animals so that he could see each one of them had a male and female. Each one of them had a companion. So God showed him his need in the work by doing the work for the Lord. And then look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now that's Genesis 2. Look at Genesis 1, verse 26. "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Dominion, key word there, right? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, the male and the female, and said unto them, before they had fallen now, they don't fall till Genesis 3. God said to pre-fallen man, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Let's pray together. Father, Lord, please help us as I preach and teach your word. I know preaching is your tool that you designed to save and salvage them that believe. So, Father, please strengthen us. Help us understand your word so that we can help others who you are dealing with. Lord, give us insight and strength and understanding so you can use us to help those that the devil has deceived, and set up safeguards in our life so we don't self-destruct. Please, Father. Lord, we ask this for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you knew nothing about the Bible and you began reading in Genesis, the first thing God wants you to know is that he's the creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that God did it in 6 days. He didn't take several thousand years to do each one, or several million years, or all that the theistic evolution and all that garbage. God meant what he said, and he said what he meant. You have to be able to take God at his word, and evolution can destroy anyone's faith, and that's what it's meant to do. So, you learn that God's the creator. And the second thing, if you didn't know anything about the Bible and you picked it up and you started reading Genesis, let's say, you know, you were hungry for the truth, and let's say you made it through the first three chapters and you just read. You just want to learn God from his word. The second thing God wants you to know is that you were made in his image. We read those verses in Genesis 1 and 2. And marriage was his design, and that marriage is only between a man and a woman. Matthew 19:4, Jesus said, "He which made them at the beginning made them male and female." There's never been any other. God is the one who created us. He created the earth. He's the one who designed marriage, and God made marriage between a man and a woman. And then Jesus referenced that in Matthew 19, verse 4. There is no variation of either the man or the woman. They're male and female. That's what God made, and that's all that God made. God never said, well, okay, made a male, made a female. What else can I make? God didn't make anything in between. God didn't make anything that went back and forth, definitely. There's only two varieties of human beings. Standard and automatic. No, I'm just kidding. Male and female. All right. There's only two varieties. There are not 72 genders. The only people that say that are those that are delusional. But science says there's only two varieties of human beings. All right. Anything that is outside of God's design destroys a nation and a society. Anything, there's so much taught in Genesis 1 through 3, all through the Bible, but Genesis is foundational. And any time anything is done outside of that, or in protest to that, a nation destroys itself and no good comes from it. We believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and God tells us to love Him first and then love our neighbor as ourself. As a born-again child of God, I'm supposed to seek to be led by God the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me after I got saved. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's Galatians 5. So the Holy Spirit of God is going to enable me to manifest love towards my brothers and sisters in Christ and towards lost people. That love comes from God. The Bible teaches that. The Holy Spirit enables me to be gentle with people who disagree with me and with people who disagree with me and that I disagree with. But gentleness is from God to deal with disagreements. The Holy Spirit also enables me to be long-suffering while I wait for God to deal with others. The Holy Spirit also leads us and guides us into all truth. John 14:26, John 16:13. God is love, but God is also light, and God is holy. God is not only love. One of the things that God says He is love. The Holy Spirit would never lead me to abandon truth in the name of godly love, because I'm supposed to love God first. Then I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. Listen closely. Goodness, love, and gentleness never require me to take a stand against what God declares so plainly in His Word. Now, let me say this. You only disagree with God to the degree you allow yourself to be programmed or influenced or both by Hollywood, the news media, and the public school system. For you to agree with the Bible means you must see the insanity and the wickedness of the world, because God's Word shows you the wickedness of the world. It shows us how wicked the world is. So is homosexuality a sin or is it sickness? Is it acceptable? Is it an atrocity or is it an alternate lifestyle? Is it gay or is it gross? Homosexuality is nothing new. It's been around since the fall of mankind. And it's in the Bible in the very first book. And it is referenced all through the Scriptures. And it's never spoken of in a good way. Never. The scriptural word for that perverted lifestyle is sodomy, effeminate. We'll look at those here in a little bit. And there are some scriptures that every child of God needs to understand. The name of this is The Bible and the Homosexual. I'm going to show you several, but there's two chapters that need to be well marked and understood by you because of the social issues in our society and the villainizing of people that disagree with what they're telling our culture it has to adapt to. So, two chapters. I think I laid Genesis 1 would help, all right? I told you that. We can't get out of the bounds of what God created and how God designed marriage. But if Romans 1 and if Genesis 19 you were familiar with and it was marked in your Bible, you would have a foundation, and that's what we're going to do. Romans chapter 1, very key, very important for you to understand this. Let's just look at it here. Ready? Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Notice this. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. If you're holding the truth, that means you know what's right, but you're in unrighteousness. You're not doing what you know. That tells me this. I have marked in my Bible Romans 2, 14 to 15. In the next chapter, verses 14 and 15, God tells us he gave us a conscience. Nobody needs a 15 reference, verse reference on any immoral sin. God gave us a conscience. And normally it's not the Bible study that makes a difference. I know that if somebody wants out of prostitution, they seek the truth. And God rescues people out of that. God saves people out of that. If somebody wants out of a wicked lifestyle, God saves people out of that. When somebody wants out of homosexuality, God saves them out of that if they want it. There are people that were forced into it. There are people that are scarred from it. And I understand that. And it's much smaller than those that actually participate in it. But there are people who want out. And God says, our conscience is enough to tell us that what's going on is wrong. They don't have to have a Bible by their bed, although that could help. So, watch this. They hold truth in while they're doing unrighteousness. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God, His holiness, His purity, His eternality, His justice, His truth, that which may be known of God is manifest or revealed in them, for God hath showed it unto them. What a verse. There's no such thing as somebody doesn't know about God. They always want to, how could God throw people into hell who've never heard? God gave them a conscience. And if you read Romans 1 and 2, you find that out. But there'll be nobody. Watch this. Verse number 20 explains it. For the invisible things of Him, from God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead. What's the Godhead? That's what we call God as He has revealed Himself to us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the Trinity, the three in one, the Godhead. God says that is shown to us by creation. God does things in threes. And that this is not, but I watch this. The end of verse 20 says, so that they are without excuse. Nobody is going to stand on judgment day saying, God, this isn't fair. Everybody needs to understand that. Romans chapter 1 answers so many questions. God exposes the road to damnation and destruction. In Romans 1, you have, if you want to be a reprobate, there is a path you can take. In Romans 3:10, 3:12, 5:8, 6:23, Romans 10:9 and 8, Romans, there is also a Romans road to heaven. And there's more than that in the Bible, but just stay with me for a second. There's a Romans road to hell and destruction and a destroyed life. That's in Romans 1, and there is a Romans road to heaven and salvation and how to be saved, and it explains how you do that. Look at verse 21. Notice this downward steps. Ready? It says here, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So, verse 21 starts this downward steps to being a reprobate, and it begins with unthankfulness. Anytime you become unthankful towards your Creator, your heart is darkened, and you're in a danger zone. Thankfulness keeps us smiling and remembering who gave us everything we have, right? So, it begins with unthankfulness. The next step is verses 22 and 23. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So they changed God, the invisible Godhead, the invisible things of Him that He showed them, into a creature. I need something I can touch and carve. And so, you know, wood, stone, and idolatry, and, you know, images. So it went from unthankfulness to idolatry. Then verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up. And you're going to find God giving up on man three times. It's in verse 24, 26, and verse 28. And when God gives up on you and lets you do whatever you want to do, nothing but vileness and hideousness comes from that. Degradation of the worst kind, that is emotionally damaging and all of that. All right, watch this. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness. Anytime you see that, that's always talking about the disease that comes from immorality. We call them STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. But gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So you have unthankfulness, idolatry, and guess what the next step is? Immorality. To be immoral in any form. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Remember, they hold the truth while they're doing wrong and unrighteous in unrighteousness. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. So this is going to involve religious misconduct. They're doing this in the name of God, but instead of submitting to the Bible, they change the Bible. They change the truth of God, because when you read the Bible, you have a choice. You can either submit to it and let it change you, or you can do what? Change the Bible and just take that verse out or reword that verse. That's what they've done. They're changing the Bible because it disagrees with them. They changed the truth of God. Then verse 26, here we go, God's going to give up on them again. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So homosexuality takes place. Unthankfulness, idolatry, immorality, and what is to follow next? Homosexuality. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. I wish you'd receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. They bring judgment upon themselves. We'll look at that here at the end of this sermon, which was meet or fitting. Because of what they chose, their vile affections. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I wish in your Bible you had the definition of the word reprobate. I'll share that with you. They're someone that God rejects because they rejected God. Here's the steps. As we read God's word, God says unthankfulness, idolatry, immorality, homosexuality follows, vile affections. Then it goes to pedophilia. Then it goes to transgender. Then it goes to cannibalism. They always say cannibalism is the most satanic of all of it. And it's just disturbing it is satanic for a person to think of actually consuming another human being. There's no taste preference there. It is a evil, wicked influence from Satan that would do that. So the Holy Bible, in the purest possible language through Romans 1, describes what any adult understands when they read it and what no child needs to understand when they read it. Aren't you glad the Bible's worded that way? All the modern versions use horrible wordings that draw horrible pictures in your mind. But God's holy word remains holy and pure, and you're not defiled when you read it. You're just instructed in its pure wording and how God gave it when you have a King James Bible. God very plainly tells us that the physical union between two men or two women is always the result of giving up on God. And so God, in response, gives up on them. These are vile, filthy sinners who have rejected God. And then the result, look at verses 29 to 31, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. They're filled with all of these things. Covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despite, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. They know that. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So their conscience tells them that their sin has the judgment of death on it. Now, our problem today is people who are saved are spending more time being entertained by Hollywood and programmed by the news media than they do reading their Bible. People can't get up one day a week and bring their kids to Sunday school, but they can take them 5 days a week to the public school system or take them to libraries where they can be read to by perverted drag queens. This is so bad. When a topic like this, that is so clear in the Bible as it is taught and preached, that people who say they're saved hang their heads in shame and they feel uncomfortable and can't believe the pastor's actually covering it because they wonder if it's hate speech or not. You would only think that what I'm saying is hate speech if you were being influenced by non-Christians. Anybody that reads their Bible knows what the Bible says. But as Christianity has morphed into a humanistic feel good, do whatever you want, God loves even the devil type watered down blah. No, God's word is very specific. And God knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord for his word. Romans chapter 1 verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Notice this, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So natural and nature, right? Think with me just for a second. It's important to understand that God made Adam a woman or a helpmeet. He made her, Adam, a woman, and he called the woman a helpmeet. Someone, meet means fitting, help. A companion to help him, Adam, that was meet or fitting together. All right. God made a man and woman to fit together. All right? It's natural because that's how God made it. So God designed the man and the woman so they could kiss each other in the bounds of marriage. They fit together, it's natural, and that's the way God made them. A man is designed to be with a woman, and a woman is designed to be with a man. It's natural, listen closely, it's natural for boys to like girls and girls to like boys. That's natural, because that's how God made us. So when a man engages in a sexual sin with a woman, it is a sin that brings consequences. But wait a second. It is a natural sin. I'm not justifying it. Listen closely. I'm trying to use the word natural and nature there. Think with me just for a second. Drug abuse is not natural. That's where you introduce a foreign substance that is harmful to your body. That's not natural. It's sin. But it's not what you would call a natural sin. Drunkenness is not a natural sin where you introduce a substance into your body that is toxic, that kills brain cells, destroys the liver, blah, 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 all of that. That is an unnatural sin. But God made the rules and the boundaries of marriage for a man to be with a woman and a woman to be with a man. Immorality between men and women is a serious sin against God, but it is in the realms of natural because that's how our bodies were created by God. All right? Now, in Romans, God tells us that once you become so depraved that natural sin no longer satisfies the lusts of your heart, you'll then move on to unnatural sins, meaning you'll do things that no one was made to do or born to do that way. People arrive at unnatural sins by rejecting the truth and the light that God gives them. Okay? From the Bible, from God's holy word, what do we know about this sin in our society called homosexuality? What does God teach me? Number one, that homosexual sins are sinful. They're sinful. That's a fact from the Bible. I think that the homosexual movement, the LGBTQVP, whatever. Can you just the thought, they put the P at the end for pedophilia to include. At any rate, that movement is designed to label Bible believers as hateful and bigoted and to silence churches on the subject. It probably will be eventually against the law to preach against homosexuality. So I used to tell the teenagers, when I would teach them as juniors and seniors, I would say, mark your Bibles, get them out, and remember this, because when it's illegal to preach against homosexuality, I want you to remember, be able to say, I remember a day when I heard a whole sermon against homosexuality. We don't hear it anymore, but I remember when the preaching was true and forward. So homosexual acts are sinful. What else do I know just from the Bible? Homosexuality is not a predisposition or something to which one was born. Homosexuality is the result of God abandoning a defiant, vile sinner. Okay? If God made you that way, then it's not God's fault, it's yours. But that's what they try to do. Well, I was made this way, so it's not my fault. Oh, yes, it is. It's not God's fault. God doesn't make homosexuals. This is not something you were born with. No, 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 no. Number three, what else do I know from the Bible? That homosexuality results in terrible consequences. horrible consequences to the home, to society, to a nation. That's all through the Bible, and we'll look at that in a little bit. I also know that a society that approves of homosexuality is shouting for everybody to hear that that society has rejected God. A gay parade is people shaking their fist in the face of Almighty God. What else do we know from the Bible? If I just read the Bible, and we know the Bible's true, we believe the Bible's Word of God, that it's impossible for one to be a homosexual and a Christian. It's impossible. The word reprobate means one rejected by God. It's very important. It's one of the strongest words in the Bible. It's used four times. I'll cover that with you here in a little bit. There have been many thieves. Okay. It's impossible for one to be a homosexual and a Christian. What else do we know from the Bible? That homosexuals can be saved by trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. There have been many thieves, liars, murderers, adulterers, and homosexuals who've come to Jesus Christ and have been saved. Jesus saves them out of that sin. Jesus has not saved them so they can continue. It's just like when a prostitute or a drunkard gets saved, or a drug addict. They know God doesn't approve of that sin. They know Jesus saved them from that sin. Now, guess what happens to a society when homosexuals are allowed to come out of the closet and engage in their filthiness out in the open? Take your Bible and go to Genesis 19. Nobody who's ever read Genesis 19 wonders what happens. To not believe this, you have to be taught to not believe it at a college or watch a movie that uplifts this lifestyle or go to some liberal church and be taught by a woman pastor that God approves of sin and has no problem with societal evolution that allows you to evolve and accept things today that, well, you know, they just hadn't evolved back then. That's why it wasn't accepted. So you need to evolve. And all this, I mean, literally anti-God. God's not shocked at what's happening in our society. We don't need to change anything about the Bible. The Bible is timeless. God knew that this would happen. God knew where our society was going, and it gets worse before Jesus comes, before the rapture and then the tribulation, and then Jesus is going to come and he's going to rule out of Jerusalem and he's going to make everything right. No, there's not going to be any homosexuals in the millennium. Trust me, he rules with a rod of iron. So Abraham prays. If you're in Genesis 19, Genesis 18 is a beautiful study in prayer where Abraham finds out that God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of its wickedness. And Abraham prays, if there's 50, would you please don't destroy the righteous? And he's asking God, he's interceding for Lot because he didn't want his nephew to be killed. So he says, Lord, you wouldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. Please, if there's 50 righteous, would you spare their city? And you can read Genesis 18, but it's a beautiful chapter on intercessory prayer. So Abraham prays for his nephew Lot because angels come to Abraham and say, the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah has come up before the Lord, and we've come down to see it and the prayer. So that's Genesis 18. Now, God sends two angels in Genesis 19 to catch away Lot before the judgment of the city. Beautiful picture of the rapture, you know what I mean? As far as God took Lot out of the city and then judged it, just like God's going to judge during the seven-year tribulations. I guess some could teach that Lot went halfway through the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah and then was rescued, but of course, the Bible doesn't teach that, and we're glad. The end of this chapter in Genesis 19 also gives the origin of cavemen. They move to a cave after God burns their city to the ground, okay? And that's just another implying joke. All right, let's look at Genesis 19. Look at verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. This is an answer to Abraham's prayer. And Lot sat in the gate. That's where the officials sat. In a city, there was a gate, and all the commerce through that gate was monitored by the authorities as they sat in the gate. They could see who was coming and going out of their city. So Lot is a person of authority. He's not just living in Sodom. He's a person in authority because he's sitting in the gate. And Lot, seeing them, the two angels, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." Notice what the angels told Lot. Lot was getting along fine with the Sodomites in Sodom and Gomorrah and didn't have a problem with them and their lifestyle. And so as a result, the angels had no desire to fellowship with Lot in his home. Lot wasn't doing what they were doing, but he was okay with it. And the angels said, Lot's company is not good to keep because he doesn't speak out. He hangs with people that live vile lifestyles, that hate God. Look at verse 3. And he, Lot, pressed upon them, the angels, greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before, watch this, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, so they encircle it, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. So many people in the city are gathered in one spot around Lot's house where the angels are. This shows, when it says, see that in the verse, it says both old and young. This shows that pedophilia is always involved with sodomy. It always has been. We'll show you this later, but sodomites cannot reproduce. So they have to recruit. They don't reproduce. They recruit from normal people. And then they twist, and then the horrible things that happen. So both old and young. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." So if you've read the first 18 chapters of Genesis, and then you're here at Genesis 19, you know what the word "know" means. They weren't asking to shake their hands and to know their names. This is awful. This is depravity and wickedness. These are people with reprobate minds. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. So the angels are inside and this whole crowd's around his house. And said, "I pray you," notice he called them brethren. He's hurting bad. He's calling these wicked, defiled reprobates brothers. They're not his brothers. "Do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." First of all, I think Lot offered his daughters to the men because he knew they wanted nothing to do with his daughters. They're sodomites. That's why they're asking for the men inside. Second of all, how sick do you have to be to make that offer, even if they're not interested? It's just disturbing that a dad would do that. And I know, but watch this. So Lot, I believe, he's very vexed, the Bible says, in the New Testament. And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow," they're talking about Lot now, "came in to sojourn, and he'll needs be a judge." So they know he's at one in authority there in the city. "Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." all that implies. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. So it's getting violent outside. And we'll see later that violence always afflicts, self-inflicted, this society of Sodomites. Look at verse 10. But the men, or the angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men, the angels, smote the men that were outside the house, at the door of the house, with blindness, both small and great. So everybody is struck blind outside the house. So that they wearied themselves to find the door. How sick do you have to be? These are evil, wicked people. Even when they're all of a sudden blind, they don't stop and say, "Oh no, God just judged me." They don't care about God. They don't care about God's judgment. They keep on seeking and wearied themselves to seek the door. Judgment, miraculous, instantaneous judgment means nothing to them. God could speak to them in an audible voice. They don't care. They've just been struck blind, and they're still old and young, searching. Verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. This place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." Watch this. Look at the end of verse 14. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When you're friends with people that hate God, and you spend time with people that hate God, if you ever get around to witnessing to them, telling them that Jesus is coming, you better get ready. You need to know that they're never going to take you seriously. You've lost your testimony with them, just like Lot did. And when Lot was telling them, he's telling family members, his sons-in-law, and they're like, "You're a Christian? You care about God? We haven't heard anything about you until now, and you really want us to take you seriously?" No testimony whatsoever. Then it says here, verse 15, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, I wish you noticed, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. Lot and his wife and his two daughters that aren't married aren't even listening. They had to grab him and pull him out, the Lord being merciful unto him. And you know why? Because Abraham prayed for him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. So they had to drag Lot out of that wicked place. Lot never got it. Well, what's wrong with this? He had lived in it so long. He's now numb to it and totally, totally accepting of it. Even after the men of the city tried to break down the door and hurt Lot, Lot still didn't want to leave. He never gets it. Verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought him forth abroad that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Look what the angels are telling him. Get out of here. Run. And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord." He's still not getting it. Isn't this amazing? Behold now, verse 19. Lot is saying, "Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." He still sees no danger. Their urgency, he knows they're angels, he knows they're from God. None of this is registering. He is truly, we'll look at it here in a little bit, vexed. Vexed or poisoned. Verse 20, Behold, now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. So he says, oh, let me escape hither, thither. Is it not a little one? It's just a little city, and my soul shall live. Don't send me so far away. Wow. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Hasten thee, escape thither. Notice this, I just like this phrase, for I cannot do anything till thou become hither, thither. You know why? Because Abraham prayed, please spare my nephew Lot. Please don't destroy him with the city. Isn't this wonderful to see God answering Abraham's prayer? Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar, so the sun started coming up. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Brimstone and fire. When archaeologists have gone there, there's plenty of things looking up Sodom and Gomorrah on YouTube. Ron Wyatt went over there. You only find pure sulfur at the location of, in the valley there of Sodom and Gomorrah. Volcanic sulfur is found everywhere else in the world. There's a difference, pure sulfur and volcanic sulfur. Volcanic sulfur is yellow, the pure sulfur is white. It's very easy to catch it on fire too. You see little nodules of it. If you haven't seen it, it's amazing. I saw a video of it, I think, about 25 years ago. Look it up. It lights very easily with a match or a lighter, and pure sulfur burns at 6,000 degrees. 6,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It has been tested in ovens, what they have there, at the site of Sodom and Gomorrah. It has been tested in science labs, and it has melted the ovens. What God rained on Sodom and Gomorrah was fire. This is not from a volcano. It has nothing to do with a volcano. Volcanic sulfur is found everywhere else in the world. Okay, do you understand a match is around, 500-600 degrees? This is 10 times hotter than a match. 6,000 degrees. Now, brimstone and fire is rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. Everybody knows that. They may not believe it, they make fun of it, but everybody knows that God rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah from heaven. It wasn't from the clouds. Clouds don't make sulfur. Clouds don't make fire. Look at verse 25. And he, God, overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Notice verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, so she wasn't by his side, she's behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. That's one way of saying, yes, one of the largest salt mining places is over there in the Middle East, in that area, and they believe it's from this, but God killed his wife. She really did turn into a pillar of salt. She was told not to look back. Her feet leave Sodom, but her heart never did. The wickedness did not matter. But that's my home. I can't leave it. God killed her. God doesn't say that she was just. I can't help but think that Lot's wife has been in hell for over 4,000 years. Verse 27, and Abraham got him up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace, because it was burning at 6,000 degrees. Fire from God out of heaven. When you finish reading Genesis 19, the last part of the chapter is worse and darker and more disturbing than the first part, if the first part wasn't disturbing enough, to show you how wicked man's heart is. Genesis 19 is very important for you to understand. God told us, okay, it doesn't take, if you've read your Bible at all, Genesis 19 and Sodom and Gomorrah is referred to for the rest of the Bible, all the way to the last book of the Bible. God told us that Sodom and Gomorrah were examples to all of humanity of God's judgment upon that sin. Liberace was used by the media in Hollywood to promote homosexuality in America. Well, he sure is good playing the piano, so, well, he's queer. Yeah, I know, but boy, he sure can play the piano. Probably one of the best in the world. Well, then I guess that means we have to accept him. Everybody knew that. Then in the 60s, Gomer Pyle was the homosexual on the Andy Griffith show that was used to make America laugh and accept more of homosexuality. Well, he's funny, though. And boy, he sure got a good voice. So then it went from Andy Griffith to the Gomer Pyle show. Then Klinger on MASH in the early 70s was used to push cross-dressing. Once again, if he's happy and he makes you laugh, then you accept it. Yeah, I know it's a sin, but don't think about that. Just think about the entertainment factor. And that's how they get you to change. Then the Village People sang the song YMCA in 1978. I was in the eighth grade. And actually, I think I was in junior high. I remember when that song came out. Then those same perverts sang the song In the Navy. And guess what the song was about? That perverted lifestyle. One of their songs was also called They Sing Sodom and Gomorrah. The homosexuals mock the judgment of God. They mock it. They know it. Everybody knows. God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah. They don't believe it, but they know it. They know it. That's just like talking to the abortion crowd, the abortion crowd, those that kill babies. They get so defiant and demonic with their, to hear them talk is just, I mean, they're in the face. They're reprobate. They're Romans chapter 1. Many of them are lesbians, but you know why abortion is defended? Because of immorality. People don't want responsibility. They just want to, at any rate. Then the Lion King, in all of its reincarnation that it teaches children, had a song, the theme song was by Elton John, and he's a homosexual. And this is to teach children that homosexuals should be accepted, because if you can sing the theme song, then Elton John really is a nice person. I know what the Bible said, but forget what the Bible says and just sing the song. And just homosexuality is acceptable. Their agenda is right on schedule with the public school questioning children's sexuality in elementary school. I think personally anybody who questions a child's sexuality needs to be in jail and anything else you want to do to them. I think it's vile to do so. The more time you spend with Hollywood, the news media, and the public school system, the harder it becomes for you to be a Bible-believing Christian. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 4. For if God, 2 Peter 2, verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So for genetic manipulation in Genesis chapter 6, God destroyed the world. So God references that. And then notice there's a colon there at the end of verse 5. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. I can't help but think if some of Genesis 6 is involved in this also. But God said he made them examples to those that should live ungodly. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed, with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So Lot was saved. Lot was called just or justified in the Old Testament. But it didn't keep him from destroying his home and his family and his reputation. And Lot, even though he was just or saved, destroyed his family forever. His name. Verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed. There's that word again. His righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You spend enough time listening to it and watch it, and you become like them, and you poison your soul. Doesn't take you to hell, but you'll never see the evil because you just spend so much time. It's just acceptable. What's wrong with it? You never see it. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Take your Bible and you're there in 2 Peter. Go to Jude right before Revelation. Jude verses 6 through 8. God's going to make another reference to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why when people say, well, that's Old Testament. God references the Old Testament in the New Testament and tells you to, when you're reading the New Testament, to go back to the Old. Why is that an issue? Well, that's Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. We live under grace and we can do anything we want. That's literally how they think. That's amazing when the Bible doesn't do that. God tells you when you're reading the New Testament to refer to the stories of the Old Testament because God's position on homosexuality has not changed since he judged it with fire and brimstone. Look at Jude verse 6 and through 8. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after, the word strange flesh there, some hybrid of this, more of this DNA manipulation that happened in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God with the daughters of men, the angels and humans. God severely judged. Watch this, strange flesh are set forth for, here we go, an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. So that's two places in the New Testament where God says, don't forget what I did in Genesis chapter 19. So that's why I think Romans 1 and Genesis 19 are chapters in the Bible that every child of God, especially because what we're dealing with in our society, needs to be acquainted with. You need to understand it. And watch this. It needs to be precious to you. I understand it's a dark subject, but we know what's right because of what God's told us. We don't wonder, well, maybe they could be. I don't wonder. I know they're wrong. I don't wonder. It doesn't cause me to question what I believe. It causes me to cling more tightly to what God says. We'll get into the consequences here. You know, there's an interesting verse in Ezekiel 16, verse 49 to 50. And in covering this topic, you know, when you think of Sodom and Gomorrah, you think, well, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, sodomy. That's why they call homosexuals sodomites, because of Sodom. And that's what... Yes, it was a city of vile affections and people that hated God and reprobates and wicked people. But when you look at Ezekiel 16, 49 to 50, notice this. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. So he's going to list the sins of this city that God judged with fire, 6,000 degrees. Pride. Wow, we hear about that in the gay pride parades. Gay pride. They're against God. Pride. Fullness of bread. An abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Had plenty of time, but never time to help anybody, just time to live for self and gratify the wicked desires of the flesh, so that it progressed as God gave them up. Verse 50, and they were haughty. Once again, another word for proud, and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. What a verse. You say, well, their sin was homosexual. That wasn't their first sin. Notice the downward progression. They didn't start out that way. They progressed that way to where God said, I'm going to destroy them. Now, when God sent the children of Israel into the promised land, in your Bible, it's just important to understand, God sent them to exterminate the inhabitants of the land because of their vile sin and the disease that comes with it. That's why Leviticus 18, go to Leviticus 18. Notice verse 22, Leviticus 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Once again, I just love the wording of my Bible. In God's purity, God describes what he calls a vile, horrible, wicked, degraded, nasty sin with words that don't scar you. God just lays it out there and he says, this puts me in a shaking frenzy. It's an abomination. Now, when people say, oh, that's Old Testament. Here we go again. People that talk that way, I wish I could help. I really do. But if that's their form of Christianity where only parts, you know what I mean? They don't rightly divide the word of truth. They just use the Bible to justify their humanism and their opinions. And it is to me, it's a horrible Christian that would say, oh, that's Old Testament. Well, so's murder. You're not supposed to murder anybody. So's adultery. You're still not supposed to commit adultery. So is stealing. You're still not supposed to steal. It's amazing, the thinking. But watch this. That's Leviticus 18:22. Go back up two verses and watch what God puts in here. Moreover, thou shalt, verse 20, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. That's adultery. God says, don't do that. So just like God said, don't do homosexuality, he said, don't do adultery. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. So God said, don't kill your children and sacrifice them to false gods. They were burning them alive. That shouldn't be happening today either. Verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Look at verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down there too. It is confusion. You didn't think anything could get worse than abomination. Verse 24. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Well, why would God tell them to go in and kill all those people? Because all of them, all of the people and the animals were defiled from their filthy lifestyle. And God could not bring his children in without, look, and there's only one way you get rid of those diseases, and that's by burning them. The bacteria and the horrible viruses and all of that. So God wanted the land cleansed before he brought his people into it. Verse 26, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. Isn't that amazing? You know, in verse 25, it says the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. It's against nature so badly and it is so unnatural that it makes nature puke. to nauseate creation with the sins of mankind. Wow. Verse 27, for all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled, covered with disease and sickness and suffering. That the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. You're in Leviticus chapter 18. Go to chapter 20 and look at verse 13. If any man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. God said, it's to be exterminated. It's to be gotten rid of. Very important that we see that. Look at Deuteronomy 23, verse 17, since we're looking at Bible verses. Deuteronomy 23, 17. Deuteronomy 23, 17 says, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. When God said, there shall be none, God said, terminate them. God's people cannot coexist with that sinful lifestyle because it destroys every society it touches. It's so vile and nasty, it destroys everything. Sodomy, all the immorality. Everybody needs to understand. Now, as we've covered this, I am a Christian. I'm a citizen of the United States under the laws of this land. The laws of this land allows you to do many things that God forbids in His Word, whether it's smoking marijuana or committing abortion or all of that. So, when I teach on something like this, I am not calling for a theocracy like the one they had in the Old Testament. We don't want a state church. We don't want that at all. We believe in separation of church and state in the New Testament. That's taught in Romans 13. I'm showing you in Genesis and Leviticus and Deuteronomy that sin, that this sin is so defiling to a nation that if you don't rid the nation of those who engage in those activities, your nation will be destroyed. God says it, and history in all the countries proves God's word is true. When people say, oh, you're hateful, I want to say, now wait a second. We aren't the religion that throws homosexuals off of rooftops or slits their throats. That's Islam. And they can do that and Islam not be spoken against because, you know, that's Islam. They want America to be Islamists. They want it to spread. So they can do whatever they want, but Christians are the ones who are hateful because they preach what the Bible says. That is garbage. We are the ones that tell every person, Jesus Christ died for your sins and He rose again, and if you'll trust Him, He'll save you from that sin and many others. We don't put anybody to death or wage war against anybody. It's the government's job to enforce the law, not the church. If my government decides to legalize abortion or legalize homosexuality, then it brings a curse upon the nation that I had nothing to do with. It's very important that every Christian understand that. I'm supposed to pray for those in authority, but I have the heartbreak of watching my nation be destroyed because my government won't pass laws against it. There was a day it used to be illegal. There was a day that it was bad. We'll cover that here in just a second. But now it's accepted, so our society goes downhill. And I'm watching that. I'm watching our country be destroyed by the judgment of God. I'm not to go execute the law. That is the government's job. In every reform, when people wanted to clean up their life, the sin of sodomy was destroyed in the land. In 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 11, 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 11 through 12, when you study the life of King Asa, a good king, it says, Asa did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. So when you do right in the sight of the Lord, God's word teaches you get rid of the Sodomites. You don't find out how to coexist with them. Because when you do right in the sight of the Lord, you understand what destroys a country and a nation and a family and a society. And homosexuality destroys every society that it's ever had a part of. Notice verse 13. And also Maacah, his mother, watch. Even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her, his mother's idol, and burnt it by the brook Kidron. When it came time to do right, Asa didn't make excuses for his family. Well, I know blood's thicker than Bible. I know, I've heard that a lot. It makes me sick to my stomach. Well, you got to defend family no matter what they do. I don't believe that's the Bible way. Asa took a stand against his own mother when his mother wouldn't do right. Didn't Jesus say, except you hate your father and mother? And he wasn't asking us to despise our father and mother. He was asking us to love him more than our father and mother. That's why it's amazing here, Asa removed his mother from being queen, said, get off the throne since you're not doing right. Wow, he took a stand against it, just like Gideon. Toppled his own father's idol before God used him in the, you know, Gideon's 300. In Judges, there has to be a stand where God says, you do what I do, your family does not dictate my will. But there are so many people. I feel so sorry for the families. And I'm just amazed that they let a child, after they've been mentally destroyed in a public school system and taught to question their sexuality, choose homosexuality. Well, would you let your child choose being a thief? Would you let your child choose, I'm going to grow up and be a murderer one day. I am. It's just because that's what I want to do, and it makes me feel the best. You would stop them from doing that. Why in the name of family would you let a child do whatever they want to do, knowing it's okay, at the minimum, not good, but it's going to destroy them? Well, it's what our child wants to do. Whoa, you're the parent, they're the child. What? This is a weird day where the child calls the shots. This is what Jesus is talking about here when he said, you cannot follow me except you hate your father and mother. He was saying love him more. And if it comes down to it, you stand against any family that's trying to stand against God. Okay, that's 1 Kings 15. Go to 2 Kings chapter 22. Go over one book and look at 2 Kings 22 and watch Josiah. Once again, anytime anybody does right in the sight of the Lord in the Bible, they get rid of Sodomites. Look at 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Abiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Then the next verse says, at age 26, in his 18th year, if he was 8 when he started to reign, in his 18th year, he's going to be at 26 years old. He finds God and decides to do right. And look down at verse 6. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem and under the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron. So he got rid of the idols and stamped it to small to powder and cast the powder there upon the graves of the children of the people. What a testimony Josiah did, because they had killed their children and sacrificed to false gods. So he goes and takes their altar, casts it, grinds it to powder, and sprinkles it, I'm sure in their sight, on the graves of the children. You killed your babies and your children over this God. You're wicked. Reform is happening, not revival, but reform is happening. You say, why? Because he made them get right with God. When the king says, you're going to serve God or I'll kill you, yeah, that's why everybody did right. And the Bible plainly says later on, they did right because they were made to. But this is not true revival, but this is reform. And this is Josiah trying to do right. Look at verse 7. And he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord where the women wove hangings for the grove. Once again, whether it's 1 Kings chapter 15 or 2 Kings 22, when you get right with God, the Bible teaches, I'm sorry, those last two verses, 2 Kings 23, it was 2 Kings 23, verses 6 and 7. I said it was chapter 22, verse 6 and 7. So 2 Kings 22 and 23 is Josiah's reform there. And 2 Kings 23, verse 7 speaks about the destroying the houses of the Sodomites, breaking them down. Josiah stopped abortion because it supports immorality, and that's the only reason people like abortion or would support it, because they are immoral. He stopped the homosexuality. This topic, homosexuality, sodomy, is denounced all through the Bible. Wisdom, now remember, wisdom is seeing life through the eyes of God. If I want God's wisdom, I don't want the world's wisdom. I want God's wisdom. We should know what we believe and why we believe it. I am not a homophobe just because I don't like the sin of homosexuality. I don't like onions, but I'm not afraid of onions. I don't like eggplant, but I'm not afraid of eggplant. I don't like root canals, but I am afraid of dentist drills. Okay? I do have dentist drillophobia. Okay? Okay. Why would you say that, preacher? Because the world always tries to bully you with extreme titles and ridicule you for being different. I am a Christian that sees homosexuality as a vile sin that is an abomination unto God, because that's what God says in the Bible. If you don't embrace their lifestyle, then you're a bigot or a hater. They don't want you, unless you embrace their lifestyle, okay? They don't have to embrace your lifestyle. You have to embrace theirs. And that's why it is just extreme hypocrisy. They don't care if they offend you. They only care if your opinion offends them. I'm offended that he's preaching the Bible. I'm offended at your lifestyle. It's wicked and disgusting, and I don't want my children around it. I don't want them. I don't want you around my children. On every issue, on every truth that you study from our society, we always find that the Bible's proved to be the Word of God. There's no contradictions in God's holy Word, and the only people that claim that there are contradictions are those whose lives contradict the Bible. They can't stand it, so they got to tear it down. Hate crime laws are put in place by nations that abandon God and are put into effect to punish those who cling to the long-standing norms of the culture to impose the new culture on those who don't want it. Romans chapter 1 is so hated by those who are exposed by it, and it is a very hated chapter in the Bible. The word reprobate is mentioned 4 times in the Bible. It means one who is rejected by God. It means one who is abandoned and an unprincipled person. In Jeremiah 6:30, it shows this. It says they were reprobate silver because God rejected them. That's Jeremiah 6:30. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26 says, these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the truth. Titus chapter 1, verse 16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient. Watch. This is Titus 1:16. And unto every good work, what? reprobate. What a word. Such a strong word in our Bible. We ought to pay attention when God uses it. Now, the physical union between two men or two women is the result of people giving up on God, and God, in response to that, giving up on those people and rejecting them. Now, I am a heterosexual. Okay? I feel so goofy saying that. Although that's what I am. But I don't want to be identified in public as that. I think if somebody announced that, hey, that's Brother Nash, he's a heterosexual, I'd go, I don't want to be identified like that. Not in public. How sick do you have to want to be identified in public by those who you take your clothes off with? That in itself is disgusting. Why is this a decent point of discussion for anybody? Those people who are so vile that they are so sick that they want to be identified by their sexual preferences. That in itself is vile. Homosexuality is not a predisposition that you're born with. God does not make homosexuals. Nature teaches you that. Two men cannot produce a baby. Two women cannot produce a baby. And you've never seen two male birds or two bulls chasing each other. You can't inherit homosexuality from homosexuality. Because if you came from homosexuality, you don't exist. I know this is goofy. It's amazing the stupidity behind this. They can't reproduce. They can only recruit normal people. It's not genetic because homosexuals can have no offspring. It is not genetic. If you did, now you don't, but if you did have a predisposition to alcohol, you're still not supposed to drink it. If you're born with a predisposition to be lazy, you're still supposed to get a job. Well, it's just how I feel best. Oh, crud. All of us feel best when we're lazy. You're still supposed to push against that. Who cares? What a stupid thing to say. If you're born with a predisposition to commit fornication, you're still supposed to control yourself. Just because someone thinks they're born with a predisposition toward homosexuality or anything else gives them the right or a license to act upon it is absolutely, it's insane. And it is the recipe for chaos, like we're experiencing. This idea that you're supposed to act on every impulse you have, and if you feel like doing it, you're supposed to be allowed to do it. It's hedonism and humanism, just in its ultimate vile form. If someone's robbing your house and you catch them and they say, "Oh, I was born a robber. I can't help it. I can't help but take things that aren't mine." And I'd tell them, "Well, stop it. I don't care whether." What do you mean predisposition? This is the stupidest thing. Homosexuality is not a predisposition of any sinner, but because they have rejected God, God has rejected them. All homosexuals know what the Bible says about them, and that is why they hate the Word of God and those that preach it. And the very fact that they hate the Bible is one of the proofs that the Bible's true. Homosexuality is not genetic. No researcher has found provable biological or genetic differences between heterosexuals and homosexuals that are not caused by their behavior. In study after study from 1930 to 1979, less than 10% of sodomites claimed that they were born that way. Think about that just for a second. 90% of the homosexuals said, "I wasn't born this way. Are you kidding me? I didn't start out like this. I became this." Proving the Bible true. What has been well established is the most is that most sodomites became that way because an older person initiated them into it. That is what has been proven. According to many studies universally, here's the four factors that predisposition one to homosexuality. Ready? There's four factors. This is research done by lost people who don't want anything to do with the Bible, and after they did their research, they found out that the Bible was true. They just didn't want to admit it. Okay, so here's four dispositions. You ready? Number one, an overbearing woman or mother in their life during their formative years. That's contrary to the Bible. They're supposed to be a husband and wife. They're supposed to... Single parent homes produce heartache and pain and suffering in the children. That's, if you doubt that, the evidence is everywhere. Number two, a weak or absentee father. That's contrary to the Bible. Men are supposed to lead the home. Number three, exposure to pornography. When children are allowed electronic devices and they're exposed at young ages, at any age, to the pornography, the downward, it damages a child. But it's amazing. They can play on the computers all night long looking at whatever they want because the parents are, you know, somewhere else or doing drugs or drunk or fornicating. It's sick. So the children suffer, but exposure to pornography is number three. And then number four, rape or molestation, also contrary to the Bible. I think that goes without saying. So what produces homosexuals, they have found by research, is when society doesn't want to live by the Bible. When they want to do things their own way and what comes natural to them, they end up committing unnatural sins. The world says this is normal. They say, that, in other words, homosexuality is normal. They say it's normal because if they didn't, they would be implying that living by the Bible prevents homosexuality, and that doesn't fit the agenda. The world is not normal. The world is insane. We are not abnormal because we want to live by the Bible. We are normal. They are the weirdos. Everybody understand? They are the weirdos. Those raised in homes identified as non-religious were many more times likely to become sodomites than those raised in homes which were religious. That's the world saying that. Look, if you're Caucasian, you were born that way. If you're a black, you were born that way. You say African American. Look. They're not called that in China, and they're not called that in Europe. No, they're blacks. I'm a white, and I shouldn't be ashamed of it. I know it's the new minority, but I shouldn't be ashamed of it. Amen? If you're Hispanic, Hispanics are born that way. If you're Chinese, you're born that way. Oriental. I mean, look. If you're born of a certain race or ethnicity, you can't change that. I know Michael Jackson did. They said he didn't really die. He just had one too many treatments and became invisible. Okay. You can't change your ethnicity, all right? The fact that many, many, many homosexuals and lesbians have been converted by either a saving faith in Jesus Christ or they've been converted to a heterosexual lifestyle without a saving faith in Christ, it proves it's not genetic. Jeffrey Satinover, in his book Homosexuality and the Politics of Truth, said no one is born a homosexual. Okay? These are people with degrees and studies and researchers and scientists. Robert Dorman, in his book, Shadow in the Land, documented how homosexuality had always been considered a mental disorder by the American Psychiatric Association until The American Psychiatric Association was pressured to call the truth of God a lie, and then they began with Hollywood and the news media to proclaim that sodomites are just ordinary folks like everybody else. Nature itself teaches against homosexuality. There is not one father in any maternity ward with his new wife giving birth saying, pacing back and forth, going, boy, I hope he's gay, I hope he's gay, I hope he's gay. Man, I want a gay baby. Oh, man. There's not one. It doesn't exist anywhere. They may, after a broken heart, demonstrate in a gay parade that their son's marching in, saying, my son's gay and proud of it. But it took them a while to get there, and they had to reject God to do it. I've already covered that. Homosexuality results in terrible consequences. What God outlines in the Bible protects societies. God knows people and what they need. God made us. That's why the Bible is the greatest psychiatry book. It'll teach you about yourself if you'll just read it. It'll teach you about other people if you'll just read it. It's a holy book. By the time homosexuality begins to menace a land, its media, entertainment, and schools are controlled by men and women that are as wicked as its sexual perverts. Our society, because of Hollywood and the media's programming, actually believe that being crooked is as healthy and beneficial as being straight. That's what they call normal people, you know, straight guys or straight people. If we're straight, yeah, that makes you crooked. Notice the young adults in the gay parades. You ever notice that? Those in the gay parade, I mean, if you haven't, don't, but I'm just telling you, it's young people. And they're in their 20s and 30s. Where's the older people? They're dying of grid. Or they're suffering because of the diseases that come with sodomy. I'll tell you here, grid is the first name that they came out with AIDS, but it didn't glamorize it. I'll tell you that here in just a second. The average homosexual has 50 to 70 different partners every year. This is what they say. If they start their encounters at age 20, by the time they're 30, they have had encounters with over 500 or more men. A dog is cleaner than that. A stray cat has more higher morals than that. They're worse than animals. Because the sin of homosexuality is so filthy, it causes disease to run rampant among those involved in its filth. Fewer than 2% of the homosexuals live to the age of 70. Think about that just for a second. Fewer than 2% live to the age of 70. That tells me this. Homosexuality is not a lifestyle, it's a death style. It's a death style. According to the book, Is Homosexual Activity Normal? By Dr. E. Fields, the median age of sodomites who die of GRID or AIDS is 39 years old. For sodomites who die of other causes, the age is 42. So, let's take the 42. Let's take the higher number. The average age of death for practicing sodomites is 42. The average age of death for lesbians is 44. Now, the median age of death for married men in the USA is 75, and the median age of death for women, married women, heterosexuals, is 79. 75 and 79 versus 39 and 42. Homosexuality is a lifestyle that cuts your life in half. Divorced men have they have an average age of death of 57, and divorced women have an average life expectancy of 71. So once again, when you look at living for the Bible, it righteousness adds life and unrighteousness takes life. What is GRID? G-R-I-D. It's gay-related immune deficiency. It's what it was. It was what AIDS was called before it was called AIDS. But because gay-related immune deficiency was hard to get people to feel sorry for the homosexual, it didn't scare the public very well. So the name GRID was changed to AIDS, Acquired Immune Disease Syndrome. Because Hollywood and the news media and Disney didn't want people understanding that that when you commit despicable acts, it breaks down the body's immune system. You think? Because they didn't want that, they led the public to believe that everybody was at risk of getting AIDS. This was back in the 80s when I was a teenager. I remember all the scare and all of this. But the facts were this. The disease never spread in any significant numbers to the heterosexual community. And if it did, it was because someone else's sin fell upon an innocent person. Rape, molestation, or bad blood transfusions. Michael Fumento wrote a book called The Myth of Heterosexual AIDS. He worked for the CDC. Wow, I've heard a lot about that recently, right? In Atlanta. And he published the fact that AIDS was limited to the homosexual lifestyle. And all they needed to do to stop it from spreading elsewhere was to just carefully monitor blood donations and monitor heroin users to control AIDS so no heterosexual would get it. When he wrote the book, the CDC acted upon it and they started inspecting all blood transfusions and they fired him. So they learned, but they fired him. They used his information. Isn't that sick? He was fired. Homosexuals are 100% more likely to be murdered than the average person. 100 times more. And it's usually by another homosexual. But the papers they don't print that. They just print the death of homosexuals. If gay bashing happens, it's reported that a homosexual was bashed, but what is not reported is that it was done by another homosexual. Because then that reveals that they're a violent society. Homosexuals are 25 times more likely to commit suicide. 25 times, not 24%, 25 times more likely. That's not gay. 50% of the women on death row are homosexual. 50%. Judge John Martov in New York criminal court, when he was in the criminal court in New York, he said homosexuals account for half of all the murders in large cities. Half. A judge said this. 518 mass murderers in the United States from 1966 to 1983 were studied by the Midwestern Psychiatric Association, and it revealed that 68% of the victims were killed by those who were practicing homosexuality. Wow. So if we have a murder problem here in America, it is because we have a pervert problem here in America. Homosexual Henry Lucas claimed he killed 350 people. Russian mass murderer Andrea Chikolito was convicted in 1992 of murdering and consuming 21 boys, 17 women, and 14 girls. Jeffrey Dahmer of Milwaukee, convicted in 1991, killed and did horrible things to boys. The top 6 male serial killers of all time were sodomites. Donald Harvey of Kentucky killed 37 victims, sodomite. John Wayne Gacy, 33 boys in Chicago, sodomite. Patrick Kearney, 32 in Los Angeles, a sodomite. Bruce Davis killed 27 boys in Illinois, a sodomite. Coral Henry Brooks, 27 men and boys in Texas, a sodomite. Juan Corona killed 27 migrant workers, murdered in Yuba City, California, a sodomite. And then the worst female serial killer in American history, who shot 7 men in Florida, Aileen Wuornos, a sodomite. Our country has been so out of its mind to wave flags, got to say that carefully, in honor of this lifestyle, yet they say we're out of our mind for believing the Bible. The top 2 mass murderers in world history were sodomites. Auschwitz executioner sodomite Ludwig Tiny murdered 100 males a day. Guios Dieres brutally destroyed the lives of 800 boys. Those are the 2 worst murderers in human history. A study of 6,714 obituaries in homosexual newspapers across the United States revealed 3% of homosexual men and 20% of lesbian women died violent deaths. Their obituaries revealed this. 3% of men and 20% of lesbians. 1.4% of sodomites and 7% of lesbians were murdered. That rate is 100 times, not 100%, 100 times higher than the rate for normal people. Of that study, 0.6% of sodomites and 7% of lesbians committed suicide. That's 12 times higher than normal people. 0.6% of sodomites and 4.6% of lesbians died in automobile accidents. That's 17 times higher than normal people. You say, preacher, what is... Read Romans 1:27. Look at the end of the verse, Romans 1:27. If you wonder why the death and suicide and violence is higher among homosexuals, God already told us why. At the end of the verse, Romans 1:27, it says, they receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. It's fitting. They're receiving, they're being judged. If you don't believe the Bible, then this is all just, you know, weird and crazy stuff that nobody can explain. But when you believe the Bible, God says the Spirit will judge all things. And you understand. Didn't say you're proved, didn't say you like it. But when you read your Bible and you walk with God, you understand the wickedness and the vileness of the world and how it affects people. God teaches you that in His Word. Sodomites want you to think that they're victims of society. But violent crimes do not happen against homosexuals by heterosexuals, listen closely, unless the homosexual tries to seduce someone. Look, when I was in the Marine Corps, a queer made a pass at a guy. They put an armed guard. Everybody remembers this in our platoon, our battalion. They put an armed guard on that guy in a room. It was on the 3rd floor of the building. An armed guard was out there for 2 weeks till they could get that guy out of the unit and away. And the armed guard wasn't for our protection. It was for his. Everybody in the battalion talked this way. Everybody in my Marine battalion, man, anybody makes a pass at me, I'll kill him. We thought that was normal. They put an armed guard to protect him till they could get him out. I remember that so well. That was normal back then. It wasn't hate speech. It was just normal. If a homosexual seduces your son and you punch him in the face, then you end up going to jail for a hate crime. That shows how sick. Look, nobody should be allowed to harm a child. I'd do more than punch you if I saw somebody harming a child. That should be a normal response. That should be normal. That's not a hate crime, but that's our society. The homosexual can threaten to kill you because you believe the Bible and nothing happens to them. But if you protect your family from their harm, you're a criminal. That is, once again, extreme hypocrisy. Sodomites have the highest rate of violence in any community in our nation. This is especially true among lesbians. And homos beat up homos with whom they're cohabitating. The largest problem of the homosexual community is this. First, substance abuse, AIDS, and then domestic violence amongst themselves. Jay Sorensen reported that domestic violence in heterosexual marriages is less than 5% a year. So normal people have domestic violence rates of 5%. Cohabiting homosexuals reported domestic violence rates at 25%, five times higher. They bring a judgment upon themselves. Violence. There are violent people. Listen, if you didn't know any of these stats, you would see that in Genesis 19, surrounding the house, bringing them out, pressed against Lot, wearying themselves to find it. They're violent people. They've gone against nature. Gay is really the wrong word because there is nothing gay about that lifestyle. Nothing. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. We're supposed to be careful about the crowd we hang around. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of this world, out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. In other words, don't hang around, don't spend time with. If any man that is called a brother, they call themselves a Christian. If they're a fornicator, someone who has sex outside of marriage, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. And somebody's a homosexual and say, oh, well, I'm a Christian. I don't care what you say you are. If you claim to be a brother and you aren't acting according to the Bible, God says, I'm not supposed to spend time with you. With such an one know not to eat. Look, we don't, as children of God, we read the Bible. They think that we're just targeting them. We're saying there is things in society that defile a home, hurt a marriage, destroy children, and all of that immorality God says stay away from. But because we preach against one aspect of immorality, homosexual, look, we preach against all of it. If we're preaching the whole counsel of God, but they feel singled out. We're not singling anybody out. We're not told to single anybody out. We're given the whole group. Don't hang around those people. 1 Corinthians 5:13. But them that are without God judgeth, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Look, we don't execute, we don't punish people for their sin. All we can do as children of God is separate from them. This is America. You can do anything you want, and most people do. But for you to choose to live that way means I cannot expose myself to that, or I'm going to be like Lot, and in seeing and hearing unrighteous thoughts and deeds, things and deeds, I'll vex myself. And then I'll get to the point where I don't care either. Well, it's okay. And then it's amazing what happens in the name of family. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians. You're in 1 Corinthians 5. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. Here we go again. It's starting with immorality. Fornicators. Nor idolaters. Nor adulterers. Nor effeminate. That's boys that act like girls. Look, girls are supposed to be feminine And boys are supposed to be masculine. And boys are supposed to learn to walk like a man, talk like a man, carry themselves like a man, like man things. Girls aren't supposed to learn how to handle snakes. Look, I guess if a girl wants to learn how to, you know, change the oil on her car so she can take care of herself before she's married, I understand. But boy, man, she ought to be learning how to bake and everything else. Do feminine things. See, but this crowd hates that. The androgyny where you destroy what a man is and what a woman is and you mix them and you cross dress and women wear men's clothes and men wear women's clothes and hairstyles don't matter and everybody wears lipstick and all that is the breakdown of a society. And that's where we're at. No, men ought to be men and women ought to be men. There's pink rooms and blue rooms and your boy ought to be put in a blue room and your girl ought to be put in a pink room and you definitely don't let your boy play with dolls. Help us. I'm absolutely amazed. Boys ought to play cowboys and Indians. Boys ought to play with guns. You know what I'm talking about as far as they ought to learn how to shoot. They ought to learn how to hunt. They ought to learn how to compete. You got to learn that's life. Shouldn't learn how to blend. Look, a boy should be recognized. He shouldn't be effeminate. He should know. Look, before you talk to him, the way he walks, the way he dresses, the way he wears his hair, everything, it should say he's a man. Same thing for a girl. Girls should be feminine and sweet and delicate and soft. They shouldn't be loud and stubborn like Proverbs 7 harlots. There's as we read our Bibles, we learn what to teach our children, regardless of society. It says, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Has many implications there. Let me just apply this. Abusers of yourself with mankind. That means, I think, one thing it could be, and I have no, it definitely lines up with the Bible, when you do that which is unnatural. Let me tell you something. For a man to kiss a man is unnatural. It's sick. It's vile. It's unbelievable to me. And it should be. Abusers of themselves with mankind. I believe that's a very easy description of homosexuality. And I'll say it again, Genesis 19 and this verse right here, 1 Corinthians 6:9, shows you that the homosexual lifestyle is violent. It includes it, that sin and degradation always involves violence. They abuse themselves. It's abusing themselves. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, look down at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. God speaks against all immorality. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Flee, run from it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, remember? But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. It is a unique, horrible sin that is natural. It's against the body as God created it. That's fornication. There it is, right? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. We took this time to look at the Bible and the homosexual. I think every child of God should be established in what they know and what they learn about homosexuality. It is a part of our society that is destroying it. We're watching our society become more and more wicked. It's not getting better. It's not being curbed. It's being more and more in the open. And every child of God should see that topic in the Bible and understand we're not the weirdos. We're normal people. They are the crooked people. They are the wicked people. They need to be saved. But we need to know what we believe in the Bible. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth. Thank you again. Lord, help us, please, to be established as your children in your word. Lord, the world, what it supports, what it backs, what it, Lord, how it destroys lives. Please, please, bless each person, strengthen them. And Lord, if somebody needs to be saved, please help them to see how simple it is to place their faith in you. Lord, we love you. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.